From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
For the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
And here is part two of our overview of the Alaska fishery stories of 2023. In late July, roughly 100 fishing vessels joined together on the Naknek River to protest this year's sockeye price of 50 cents per pound. When adjusted for inflation, it's the lowest in several decades. As KDLG's Christina McDermott reports, many Bristol Bay crews say they feel frustrated by the lack of transparency between processors and fleets.
There's a multi-decade precedent for Bristol Bay salmon processors to wait until the season is underway to announce what they're willing to pay. But Captain Conrad Schad of the fishing vessel Skua says this model hurts fishers.
The producer gets paid what's left over. We produce the fish, and then it gets processed and sold and everything, and everybody gets their cut. And then if the morsels that are left over, they give to us, there should be a fixed cost for what we produce here and then add it on.
In Bristol Bay, commercial fishing crews fish on what's called an open ticket. That means starting before they know how much their catch will sell for, and they pay to prepare. Captains spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on permits and invest in costly improvements to best tackle the breakneck run. Then there's storage and haul-out fees, sometimes thousands of dollars worth. Trident Seafoods was the first processor to announce a 50 cents per pound base price this year. In a letter to its fleet, Trident blamed a saturated market, Russian undercuts, and inflation for the low price. North Pacific Seafoods and Peter Pan Seafoods announced the same price a few days later. David Couch, who captains the fishing vessel Icarus, says processors told fleets the price would be low before the season started, but they did not specify how low.
You know, I know guys that are not able to pay their crews this year. They're going to have to borrow money to pay their crews. And I know people that, you know, they're trying to figure out how they're going to fly home right now, what credit card they're going to put the airfares on.
He says the relationship between processors and fleets needs restructuring.
You know, if they made a commitment for a large price on a large year, they could be out of business too. So there has to be some type of transparency and, you know, way that we can talk.
Couch suggests coming up with an agreement wherein fishing crews receive a percentage of the profit rather than wait for a base price. Bristol Bay's major processors have refused request for comment on this year's low price and have not responded to requests for comment on industry transparency. In Dillingham, I'm Christina McDermott.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
At the end of August, KMXT's Brian Venois took a look at the sagging salmon market. First, he spoke to Bristol Bay fisherman Mike Frisero.
Mike Frisero has fished for salmon for over four decades. He says he was expecting a low price for Bristol Bay salmon this summer, but didn't think rumors were true about how low it would drop. Towards the end of the season, processors announced a base price of just 50 cents per pound, the lowest in decades when adjusted for inflation. Fishers can get bonuses for better quality, but Fresero says even with the boost, he was better off gearing up to fish for other species like halibut.
Well, so if you're catching 5,000 pounds and you're thinking 80 cents, then your crew share might be $400. Well, that's worth doing, you know, for folks. But once it drops into the lower figures, if you have crew that have talent, they've got other things they want to get over to.
The Bristol Bay base price for sockeye was one of the lowest prices for Alaskan salmon in recent history. Since then, Trident has dropped their price for chum down to just 20 cents per pound and announced they'll stop buying salmon for most communities in Alaska starting September 1st. Fishermen across the state are wondering how long low salmon prices will last. Some are even considering selling their boats. Gunnar Knapp is an economist who specializes in the state's fisheries. He says for the sake of both fishermen and processors, he hopes this is just a one-year blip instead of the beginning of a long pattern.
To get the lowest price you've ever gotten while you've been working just as hard as you ever did, and other expenses like fuel and so on have gone up. It puts fishermen in a really tough position. I think processors would say that they're also in a really tough position and their companies are on the line.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is funded by the state legislature to stir demand for Alaskan products. Greg Smith, ASME's communications director, says there just isn't enough demand to keep up with the glut of fish.
There's difficult issues just in the global marketplace, inflation, you know, increased of cost of living, shipping costs, and just, you know, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So there are just significant challenges.
Fishers even started the season with some processors still holding frozen product from last year's harvest. ASME received an extra $5 million in funding this year to better compete in global markets, but even with that extra funding, staff are unsure if their short-term efforts like retail displays and working with food writers will help much. Smith says one of ASME's bigger projects is investing in new markets across the globe.
We're focusing on emerging markets, Latin America, parts of Africa. We're doing some things in Israel, but it is just really trying to build off the strength of the brand.
Smith says ASME has had some success with retail and restaurants and even worked with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to include salmon in purchases for school lunches and food banks. Fresero says with lower salmon prices, though, he's able to keep a decent paycheck but will have to be wary of his budget for next year. He says he hopes market conditions improve over the winter. The low prices this year have pushed several fishers to call for better transparency from processors. Fresero says a guaranteed minimum price would be the best possible starting point to build more trust.
You're looking for transparency. Anything would improve it, right? Because there's almost none. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're being mistreated in any way. It's just very hard to have a conversation with no information.
Regardless, Fresero says he'll be back to fish more next year. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
It's never been a comfortable relationship between the federal government and the state on the Kuskokwim River. Each shares management of the river, and each has its own priorities. Now that the federal government has filed a lawsuit against the state, it's come to a head. The Alaska Federation of Natives has sided with the federal government, and as KNDA's Rhonda McBride reports, a federal judge has allowed AFN to intervene in the case.
The Kuskokwim River has historically provided a wealth of salmon to communities that hug her shores. Decades ago, her silty waters produced one of the largest king salmon fisheries in the state. enough to have both subsistence and commercial fisheries, as well as an abundance of chum salmon, sockeyes, and silvers. But over the decades, king salmon numbers crashed to a crisis point that restricted and sometimes even closed subsistence harvests. At that point, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service stepped in to enforce a federal rural subsistence priority in the lower stretches of the river, which flow through a federal wildlife refuge. The state continued to manage the fisheries upriver, outside the refuge. But in 2021, the state opened up the whole river to subsistence fishing to all Alaska residents because its managers felt there was a surplus of fish that season. But the federal government filed suit. It argued the state had not only overstepped its bounds, but also failed to manage for a rural subsistence priority, effectively breaking federal law. The Alaska Federation of Natives says it sought to join the federal lawsuit because it believes the state's actions threaten subsistence protections under the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA. AFN's legal counsel, Nicole Borromeo, says also at stake the landmark Katie John court case, which affirmed a rural priority for subsistence fishing.
It does more than challenge Katie John. The state is arguing in no uncertain terms that Katie John is no longer good law.
Katie John was a Mentasta elder who successfully sued the state to open a portion of the Copper River to subsistence fishing, where her family had fished for generations. It was a legal battle that went on for decades.
We fought the battle. We've won the battle. We thought it was a war, but apparently the state has yet decided to mount up again for another legal attack on the rural priority.
State Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang says it's the federal government that's picking this fight, not the state, which is simply following its constitutional duty to provide equal access to fish and game.
85% of this king salmon spawn above the refuge. So they're basically managing within the refuge for subsistence priority, but that's impacting our ability to meet escapements in the upper river.
The commissioner also says the federal government is infringing on the state's authority over navigable waters.
If we didn't respond to this, we would have accepted the fact that the federal government could replace state management with federal management on any waterway of Alaska that touches a federal reserve. And that becomes untenable.
AFN agrees with the state on that point, that this fight has far-reaching implications that will affect Alaska Natives across the state, and that the case may eventually have to go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court to be resolved.
The state's been very clear that it will only stop if the U.S. Supreme Court tells them to. So we will need a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court.
I think it needs to be settled.
It's an old battle that stems from a problem that's hard to fix, conflicts in the Alaska Constitution with federal law that can only be resolved through a state constitutional amendment, which remains politically out of reach. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.